This is the Sports Animals.
And we're back. Welcome to another edition of the Sports Animals. You got Harry. You got Mike. We're ready to talk Yankees baseball. Let's do this.
Yankees baseball, baby. I'm ready to. I've been so excited. Sorry. I just look forward to this. I'm at work. I'm like reading Yankees baseball articles. And I'm like, oh, tonight is the podcast recording.
We're recording a podcast, baby. Let's go. It's our second half preview show. We gave you the first half recap. Now it's time to tell you what's coming, what was and what is and what's going to be. So let's talk about the Yankees in the second half of 2019. As Aaron Boone said at the break, this team has put itself in a position to do something really special this season, and it is very clear that this team is targeting a deep postseason run. Harry, start me off. Tell me something that you want to talk about with this second half New York Yankees team.
I mean, the Yankees have put themselves in a position where it's World Series or bust, which I think is a really exciting place to be. It's something that fans will take for granted, but the amount of injuries the Yankees have in the first half, they are poised to make a long postseason run. And when everyone gets healthy, this team is stacked from 1 through 40. Not even 1 through 25. 1 through 40. They're a really stacked team. So I'm very excited for the second half. I want to see how high a ceiling this can go. If these guys can get healthy, if they make the right move at the trade deadline, this could be a 110-win team. I know that's an extremely high ceiling. That's one of the best teams of all time. But 110 wins to me is a bold but possible prediction for this team.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I think this team has that in their sights, particularly given the fact that in the first half they weren't very healthy and that the second half could be better health for them. So I think that's a very, very possible thing, and it's within the reach for the New York Yankees. With that, Harry, tell me what you're drinking tonight, and let's talk some Yankees baseball.
Absolutely, Michael. So I am drinking a Baxter Brewing Stowaway IPA. As you know, I'm an IPA fan, and I drink a lot of them. And this one's it's a nice one. It's a 6.9 percenter. It's a little maltier than most of the ones I have. It's on the summer, I like those IPAs with mosaic hops. But this one's a little bit more of a winter IPA. But I really like what the guys are doing up with Baxter and Maine.
So that is a great brewery. I love Baxter and Maine. They make a bunch of really nice beers. That's a good choice. I am drinking myself a Jack's Abbey post-shift Pilsner. This is a lighter beer. It's a German-style Bavarian Pilsner coming in at 4.7%, but it's super crisp, drinks really well in the summertime, and just a great, you know, coming home from work and drinking a beer. The slogan on the side of the can for this one, Harry, is "There will be no working during drinking hours, and such as it may."
That's good. I kind of disagree with that, though. I like to end my work day with beer. And then it makes me productive for like a solid half hour, and then I just fall off.
There's a law of diminishing returns there, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
All right. So we got a bunch of things to talk about. And in our recap show for the first half, we kind of gave the Yankees pitching staff an incomplete. And so I think that's where I want to start this show, Harry, because there are a couple of things that have happened in the first half that make you nervous for the second half. And it all kind of bleeds into the trade deadline and what's about to happen here in the last 3 weeks of July. So let me set the stage for you. Two things to know. Dellin Betances has had multiple setbacks with his shoulder, and we're now in a place where most Yankee fans don't think that the Yankees are going to get anything out of Betances this year, which short-term is very bad for the Yankees. Long-term could be very good for the Yankees because, of course, this was a contract year for Betances. But that is a topic for another day in a podcast that I'm sure we'll record after we record from the Canyon of Heroes in November. We'll do a show in December to talk about free agency. That's a long time away from now. So Betances has had a setback, but maybe even more significantly than that setback, it's Luis Severino, who, boy, what a mess that Brian Cashman described this week, huh?
Oh, man. I mean, sounds like they completely botched his rehab. And will he get back? Will he pitch this season? I think that's the question at this point.
That becomes the question.
It's really bad when you have shoulder issues. You know, shoulder issues in spring training, that was a red flag, but you thought he would be healthy by now, and it just keeps being setback after setback. And he's such a pivotal part of your team because you want a guy to – you want a stud at the top end of your rotation, and right now they don't have that. Who are you going to pitch against Justin Verlander or Garrett Cole or Clayton Kershaw if they happen to make the World Series? You want a guy like Severino in your rotation, and there's just a lot of question marks whether we'll see him pitch this year.
Yeah, and I think it becomes interesting now because they've set his timetable back so far. So Cashman admitted in an interview that they botched his recovery, and something about the fact that they put him on a throwing program before they were totally confident that he was 100% healthy. And in retrospect, they wished that they had put him through an MRI before they put him on that throwing program. So I think that, you know, now they've pushed him back to best case is end of August, beginning of September. That puts you in a weird place, even if he does come back. So let's believe the Yankees here and let's go with the best case scenario. If he makes 4 or 5 starts in September and he's anything less than ace caliber, like, does it really make sense to stretch him out? I mean, are you really going to give him – in the postseason, you really only need 3 starting pitchers. So do you shove Severino into the bullpen? Like, I don't really know how the Yankees go about this. And the other thing about it is he's going to come back at a time where the minor leagues are going to be at the end of their seasons. So he may have to do some of his rehab starts just in simulated games. It's a really, really sketchy situation right now. They haven't shut him down for the season yet, but that might be coming pretty soon.
Yeah, and it sounds like Jordan Montgomery, too, had a setback, and he's not going to be back. So all the pitching help that we thought would be coming around the All-Star break is not here. And that's a problem for the Yankees. I mean, if there's one weak spot in their entire team, it's the starting rotation. I think they're going to try to address it at the trade deadline. It's nice to just get Domingo Germán back right now. But, yeah, I think the Yankees have to get creative. I'm advocating they do more openers, and I think in the postseason that could be really, really interesting. I think that was one of my bold predictions earlier in our season preview show, that the Yankees were going to use the opener more. And Chad Green has done a really good job as the opener. Maybe the Yankees return to that.
Well, it becomes the question of, like, what do they do about it now? Because the – oh man, that was no good. We're gonna have to edit that bad boy out.
No, God bless you, Michael. That
yeah, thank you. All right, fine, fair enough. So I think that the question now for them is, okay, we know that the starting pitcher is, or starting pitching on this team is mediocre at best. But what can they go do to fix it? And if you look around the majors at the trade deadline, there's not a whole lot there. I mean, one of my bold predictions in the preseason was that Madison Bumgarner would make a postseason start for the New York Yankees. And part of that prediction was, hey, the Giants are terrible. The Yankees will be buyers at the deadline. The free agent pitching class this upcoming offseason is thin on top starters and even thinner on top starters with teams that won't be contending. Yankees are going to need a starter, and I even said on the preview show, Sevy's hurt, Sabathia's a liability, Paxton has a long injury history. Look, Mad Bum's been uninspiring There are a lot of Yankee fans that are clamoring for the Yankees to go make a trade with the Giants for Madison Bumgarner. I don't see it personally. I mean, I got a text from our super fan Mets fan Chris this week saying, hey, are you guys actually going to make a deal with us for Zach Wheeler? And right. Wow. I mean, the fact that we're having a toss-up between Mad Bum and Zach Wheeler just shows you where we are in this season.
Well, Zach Wheeler's peripherals are pretty impressive. He looks like he's got some upside for the second half. And, yeah, he'd be a nice little pickup. He's not a guy that you want to pitch game one in a playoff series.
Is he a guy that you want to – no, see, this is the problem. This is not – the Yankees are not looking for a middling starter right now.
But the Yankees, there is no ace available. Like, everyone thinks of these great aces. There's maybe 10 aces in the major leagues, and none of them are available. It's Madison Bumgarner, who's over the hill. But, I mean, he's not the Madison Bumgarner of old. Maybe he could put together a streak where he looks like the old Bumgarner, but he's not. He's not that guy anymore. Marcus Stroman is maybe one that you could say he looks kind of like an ace at times, but he's very inconsistent. The options right now that have come up in trade talks, right? Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman, Matt Boyd, Trevor Bauer, and Robbie.
Yeah, I don't believe that the Indians are sellers, though. That's the problem with that one.
Yeah, I don't see Bauer being traded. I think the Indians are still ready to think of it. And same with Robbie Ray. The Yankees have really liked Ray for a long time. He's been in the rumor mill with the Yankees forever. But the Diamondbacks are actually contenders this year, to everyone's surprise.
Well, we talked about this on the preview show. This is part of the problem. The entire National League is contending right now. I mean, there's basically no teams in the National League that are out of it right now, and that makes the trade market really, really tricky because we don't know which players are going to be are available. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, people were talking about, the Yankees are going to get Max Scherzer. Like, come on. The Nationals are two games out of the wild card spot. You know, you're not trading Max Scherzer. What message does that send to your fan base if you're two games out of the wild card spot and you're trading your best player?
Yeah, and that's why I'm wondering if the Yankees look at the starting pitching market, are unimpressed. There's going to be really high cost to acquire a guy like Stroman, right? So why not go out and get another stud reliever and just bolster something that is really good already? Like, go out and get Will Smith from the Giants. It's something to consider.
I really think that's their best option. And I've been saying this for weeks now, that I think that the way to deal with this situation is to add on to your strength, and that is their bullpen. And I think that they potentially could get some help from the minor leagues as well. We saw a super talent in the futures game who has been rising like crazy through the Yankees system. And I think that might be another piece of help that they get in September, is another, you know, real firearm coming in into the bullpen. But I think the Yankees' best shot at the World Series this year, and this is not a pretty, not very inspiring for Yankee fans, is some combination in the starting rotation of Tanaka, Paxton, and Sabathia handing the ball off to the back of that Super Bowl pen. And I don't know, Harry, if you want to talk about maybe potential help that we could get from the minor leagues.
Yeah, I mean, Debbie Garcia is someone that I am very excited about. That was going to be one of my, I don't know if it's too bold anymore because he's been so dominant. He started the Futures game. He got promoted to AAA right after the Futures game. He's 20 years old. He's only 5'9", so that's been the big knock on him. He's 5'9", 163 pounds. Small guy, just turned 20. He's already in AAA. And he had 114 strikeouts in 68 innings so far this year.
Pedro-sized.
It's insane. He's a starter, but I think he's going to hit his innings limit soon, and they might transition him to the bullpen for the rest of the season. If he pitches well in AAA, I could see this guy getting the call up and being like a Francisco Rodriguez for the Angels, where he's just a dominant bullpen arm that helps the team down the stretch and in big games in the postseason. I'm really excited about Garcia. They have to add him to the 40-man roster anyway because he's Rule 5 draft eligible. Why not see what he can do in September? And if he's good, add him to the postseason roster.
Yeah, I mean, the other question, so I think that's probably what you do. I think there's a scenario in which you might leave J.A. Happ off of a postseason roster if you can build enough arms into that bullpen. Yep. I don't know whether that's realistic or not. Do you think that might be realistic?
He's had a terrible first half. I just think he's going to rebound and have a better second half. His track record is too long. He's had four straight years of very productive stats, very productive years. So I just think he might rebound in the second half and figure it out. I don't know. But he's been awful in the first half. And if I was judging based on the first half, I would leave him off my postseason roster.
Yeah, he becomes a player in the offseason to me that I know you never trade a player when they're depressed value, but the one asset that the Yankees have that other teams don't have is capital. And that might be a situation where you ask another team to eat the salary that's not going to compete next year, because I don't agree with you. I think he has looked feeble in his starts this year. I think there is a lot of velocity missing from his fastball. I just at times have thought he's looked uncompetitive, and I do not expect him to be better in the second half. I think he's washed up.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Well, they have a 3-year deal with him. Is that right?
I think it's a 2-year deal.
Okay.
Is it 2 or 3? God, please don't tell me it's 3.
I thought it was $36 million, something like that.
Yeah, okay. It could be. Well, we'll get back to the audience on that. I'm pretty sure it's a 2-year deal, but maybe it is 3. Maybe we're gonna see 2 seasons of J-Hap. That'd be great.
It is 2 years. It's 2 years.
Okay, so Jay Happ, we have to suffer through him. But I agree that I think that adding a bullpen arm, whether it's through the minor leagues or whether it's through a trade, is the Yankees' best option. And so then becomes the question is, what do the Yankees have to give up to go get that reliever? You're not in on Mad Bum. I'm not in on Mad Bum. The Texas Rangers aren't going to trade Mike Minor. We don't like Matt Boyd. A Yankees and Mets trade hasn't happened in forever. I just don't see the Yankees getting a starting pitcher. So it's really about, can you get a guy like Will Smith from the Giants? Are there any other relievers on the market that you can go get? And frankly, one of the big challenges here is that the Cincinnati Reds are 4.5 games out of a wild card spot, and the San Francisco Giants are 5.5 games out of a wild card spot, and then the Mets and the Marlins trail them. Basically, the entire National League is competing for a wild card spot at the All-Star break, which makes the trade deadline just super, super tricky right now.
Yeah, very tricky. I think the only guy who's pitched really well in the first half, his peripherals show that he might be getting a little lucky and that he might be due for some aggression. It's Marcus Stroman. He's a big name, but he's been wildly inconsistent. He had over a 5 ERA for the full season last year. This year, he's been much, much better, 3.18 ERA. He's still young, 28 years old. Maybe the Blue Jays, who are completely out of it, trade him to the Yankees like they traded Jay Happ to them last year. I don't know who you'd have to give up. Some people have talked about Stroman plus Ken Giles to the Yankees, which would be very interesting. I guess you get put Clint Frazier in the discussion then. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, the question is, do you believe in Stroman long term? That's the big question.
I don't know. I don't really like Stroman very much. He's one of those guys that's like a I don't know if you saw it, but a couple of weeks ago, he's just a very showboaty pitcher, and he's not that good. Like, he's not good enough to be as flaunty and gaudy as he is, and I'm just not a Stroman guy, so it's never really appealed to me. But the Yankees have shown over the years that they are willing and able to make deals with the Blue Jays, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, that's something that you actually need to pay attention to when you're evaluating trades at the deadline, is have those two teams dance together before, because that really matters from a general manager standpoint. And I think the Yankees and Blue Jays are capable of making a deal. I'm not as confident that the Yankees and Mets could make a deal.
Yep. His velocity's dropped a little bit too, but he seems to be doing well this year. I don't know. He would be a good addition to the team this year. It's just at what cost? Are they going to ask for a bunch of top prospects for him?
Well, so here's the thing too, is that like I'm only really interested in trading top prospects if you're telling me that the guy you're trading for is somebody that's going to get a start in the postseason over any of the three pitchers, Tanaka, Paxton, CeCe.
Yeah. And will he? I would say he would get it over CeCe. And we have to see what Paxton's second half looks like.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're getting a start over Tanaka. I don't think you're getting a start over Paxton. And I think he's a coin toss over CeCe at this point.
Yep.
Is that maybe being too kind to CeCe? Probably is being too kind to CeCe.
Probably being too kind to CeCe. I mean, Stroman had a very good first half. He was an all-star. I'm just not sure if it's sustainable. We'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, the real question is, like, what would you trade Clint Frazier for, right? That's what it comes down to, because he's the big chip that the Yankees have. He has been sort of in purgatory with the Yankees and remanded to the minors. It's a weird situation where you got a guy who hit 130 WRC plus through the first 50 or 60 games that he played with the Yankees this season. And all of a sudden he finds himself back in AAA because of defense. And then also, whether it's the narrative or not, it's a part of the story. Attitude landed him in AAA.
Right. You know, I would not give up on Clint Frazier yet. He's got that legendary bat speed, but he's still fairly young. He's 24 years old, but he had a completely lost season last year. He hasn't really had a full season in AAA. You know, he's had, what was it, 320 at-bats last year at AAA. So I still think he has time to develop. I still think he can get better at defense. I think he's a bat that you don't give up on so easily. If you get value back and if it helps you win a World Series this year, yes. But if you're just going out and getting an average starter, I'm not going out and getting like a Jay Happ or a Lance Lynn like the Yankees did last year for Clint Frazier.
It kills me how good Lance Lynn has been this year. Absolutely kills me how good that fat Lance Lynn has been this year.
Man, I mean, Yankees pitchers have been great elsewhere. Lance Lynn, Sonny Gray, what's going on here?
It's the most punchable face in the major leagues. Guy is 11-4, 3.9 WAR this season, and a 3.91 ERA in the AL West. He has started 18 games this season for the Texas Rangers and struck out 123 batters over 115 innings. Fat Lance Lynn, Harry! Fat Lance Lynn! Unbelievable.
Lance Lynn, who couldn't do anything against the Red Sox. Rangers have been a pleasant surprise, too. It's kind of been fun to watch. 48-42, beat up on the Astros. It's pretty surprising what the Rangers have done.
Yeah, I think I have to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure at least one of us took the under on the Rangers this year, and we would have lost money on that one, let me tell you.
Yes. Their offense looks much better than we anticipated.
Yep. Okay, so we're not – I think kind of what we were coming out on this is that neither of us can come up with a trade that we really like for Clint Frazier.
Yep, I think it needs – we have to wait and see a little bit. It's a little bit interesting this year because teams have to make a decision by July 31st. There's no waiver trade deadline anymore. It's a hard deadline at July 31st. So you're not going to see a Verlander trade like you saw in late August with the Astros. Teams have to decide whether they're competing this year. And I think we have to play out July and see where all the teams are. Because like you said, the NL, there's a lot of teams around 500 that are still in the hunt. If they go on a two-week losing streak, maybe they decide to sell the deadline and more arms become available. But looking at the trade deadline right now, I'm not impressed, and I'm not sure I would give up Clint Frazier for anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Little League, they tell you when you field a ball too late, sometimes the best throw is no throw. And that's just such a weird thing to be entertaining when a team so clearly has an opportunity to make a deep postseason run. Because as a Yankee fan, you're trained from a young age to think that, hey, if we have an opportunity to go for it, we need to augment the roster in July. That being said, you know, that's not how the Yankees operate anymore. The Yankees are building for now and for the future at the same time. And they're not willing to mortgage the future for something that's not worth the talent now. And looking at the landscape in terms of what's available right now, the Yankees may have already made their deadline deal. That Encarnacion trade, looks better and better as time goes on. And I think that as you scout the pitching market, there's just not much there that's worth giving up a guy like Clint Frazier. And, you know, part of the problem with Frazier right now is he's now basically got a target on his back, right? Every team knows that Frazier is in disfavor with the Yankees. And so every team is going to ask for Frazier no matter what the Yankees are asking for. I think it's a really weird position to be in from a bargaining standpoint if you're the Yankees, because you've got so much young talent and you're probably not willing to give any of it away. You know, you've got a Debbie Garcia in AA. You've got a Clint Frazier in AAA. And the odds that the Yankees are going to part for either of those guys for a Will Smith are like, they're vanishingly small. So I just don't know. I think we may get really excited about the trade deadline and find that very little happens other than the fact that the Yankees trade some middling prospects for free agent signing bonus money because they just spent it all
The Martian. I look at the trade market right now and I just don't see anything, but you want a World Series contender to put the best team on the field. And Cashman seems to always make a deal. So I think he might pull something out of his hat as in classic Ninja Cash style. I think he's going to find something to improve this team, whether it's like a Will Smith or a Tony Watson, Ken Giles, something to improve the bullpen. Or if he unearths a starter that no one was actually thinking about.
Isn't Ken Giles the guy that punched himself in the face last year on the Astros?
Yes, yes.
I don't want that guy. I don't need that guy on my team.
Fair enough.
Million-dollar arm, 10-cent head. Ken Giles, no thank you, sir.
Yeah, he's got some issues, but – I don't know. I think
that's going to play real well in the New York market. He's going to do great here.
Work for Jack
wasn't a problem, but the guy that punches himself in the face in Houston, he's going to do great in New York.
Yeah, he's a virtual punching bag. Just punching himself.
It's the best we got to work with, Harry.
That's all we got.
All right. I don't know.
So the trade deadline will be very interesting to watch. Cashman will pull something out of his hat, though. And Cashman, we trust.
In Cashman, we trust. We can agree on that. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the AL East in the second half and whatever else that the New York Yankees have to worry about heading into the postseason. And we're back with the second half of your second half preview on the Sports Animals. And Harry Raymond, we're going to talk a little bit about the competition in the American League East and what we can expect the New York Yankees to have to face coming down the stretch as they compete for their first division championship in longer than I care to admit.
This is a dogfight in the AL East. I mean, people forget how good the Yankees – I mean, the Yankees' first half was so good that we forget how good the Rays have played. And the Red Sox are still the World Series champions. So it's going to be a dogfight till the end.
It absolutely will be a dogfight to the end. I think that one of the things that's really interesting is that the Yankees are pretty far out in front of the Boston Red Sox, who have their problems. And they are 9 games out of the division as we live and breathe here during the All-Star break or just after the All-Star break. And that being said, they still have 11 games to play against the Yankees, and most of those are at Fenway. The Yankees games have taken place mostly in New York. Now, both of those London games counted as home games for the Red Sox, which bravo to the Steinbrenners, because I don't know how they pulled that off.
Bravo.
But we swept there, which counts as 2 games at Fenway. That being said, the Yankees have not visited Fenway many times this year. They're going to have to go there a lot in the second half. And that could be something that makes things a little bit more interesting, if not to get the Red Sox back into it, but at least then maybe to give the Rays a little bit of room to make up some ground.
Yeah. Let's give the Red Sox some credit. They bounced back in June. They were 20-12. They were a total mess in April, but they put together a decent June. And that they finished their first half with a .544 winning percentage. Not as bad as... You know, it's not terrible. It's not great for a reigning World Series champ. But they're still in the hunt, and they could sneak into the wild card, and that makes them dangerous. Their pitching staff has been their Achilles heel. Chris Sale has been not as dominant as usual. Rick Porcello looks terrible this year. Eduardo Rodriguez. The pitching staff, which was such a strength last year, is very shaky this year. I think the Red Sox may be in too deep a hole. If they have a 600 winning percentage, they win 92, 93 games. That might not be enough to make the playoffs in this American League.
I mean, the good news is that there's middling talent outside of the division leaders in the American League right now. And I think the Red Sox may have a chance to sneak into that wild card game. The question is whether or not they can be that first wild card or the second wild card. And the Achilles heel of that team this year, without a doubt, has been the bullpen. The Boston Red Sox have blown 18 saves in save or hold situations this year, which is second only to our lovable friends in Queens, the New York Mets, with 21 blown saves this year. Holy crap.
Man, they've been so awful.
Let's put this in perspective. If Edwin Diaz had been better than the Mets, if Edwin Diaz had been the guy that he was last year, and let's say that the Mets take 21 of those blown saves and turn 8 or 9 of them into wins, they'd be leading the NL West right now, NL East right now. That's how crazy the Mets have been in how crazy bad they've been in late innings this season.
Oof, that's really bad.
We're going far afield. shout out to Russo.
It's fun to just crap on our Crosstown rivals.
It's great. Shout out Russo. Shout out Andrea. Mets suck. Let's go in. So back to it. The Red Sox, 18 blown saves this season. Dave Dombrowski came out last week with Alex Cora in a press conference, and they announced that Nathan Eovaldi, when he comes back from injury, is going to be transitioned to the closer role. I mean, that's where we are with the Red Sox season right now. It's a really weird place.
Yeah, and I mean, they've been relatively healthy too. That's been the weird part. The Yankees have been very banged up in the first half. Red Sox have been pretty healthy, and they're still not performing well. So I don't know if there's a World Series hangover. I mean, you expect Mookie Betts to bounce back in the second half. He already started to bounce back in June. But I just don't know if this is a playoff team.
Well, I know one of the things that I'll be watching really closely in the second half, and I know Red Sox fans will too, is what does Craig Kimbrell do with the Chicago Cubs? Because that was the missing piece. I mean, the story of the first half for that team has been that relief pitching has been an absolute disaster. It's been a nightmare every time they turn the ball over to the bullpen. It is one of the worst bullpens in baseball, maybe second worst to the New York Mets. And if Kimbrel comes out and throws smoke for the Cubs and leads the Cubs to a division title in the National League Central, Dombrowski's going to feel really silly for not paying him.
Well, they just don't have much room to acquire talent at the deadline either. They didn't pay anyone in free agency. They knew that they had bullpen weaknesses, and they didn't go out and get Kimbrel. It's very strange. So I just don't see them being big players at the trade deadline this year.
I don't either. But it's going to be interesting to watch that game of cat and mouse, because we've talked about what the Yankees need, and we've talked about what the Red Sox need now. And they both need a reliever, because the Yankees don't believe, or at least we don't believe, in the starting pitching talent on that market. You're not hearing a lot out of the Yankees about the starting pitchers that are out there. And I think that means that maybe adding to your strength is the way to go. It should be super interesting, because if the Red Sox choose to compete, what they clearly need is a closer. They need a strong back of the bullpen type guy. And so it could put the Yankees and the Red Sox in a bidding war for the first time in quite a while at the trade deadline. And it'll be interesting to see how they try to drive each other's value up.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point. I think the Red Sox, if I'm a betting man, I say they don't make the playoffs. It's a coin flip. I mean, they have done a good job of steadily coming out of the basement. Their April was a disaster. And they've overcome that slow start. They're climbing out of the basement a bit. But it may be too little, too late. I don't know. It's going to be the next 2 months will say a lot. If they go on a hot streak, I'll be much more concerned about the Red Sox. But to me, the Rays are the real concern.
So tell me more about the Rays, Harry.
Yeah, so the Rays have been a, you know, we both thought they would be a good team, but I'm not sure we thought they'd be this good. They finished 52-39 with a 571 winning percentage. They're 6.5 games back of a very good Yankees team. They're a little banged up recently. Tyler Glasnow, their ace, is on the DL. Diego Castillo, their closer, is also on the DL. And Blake Snell's been struggling recently. So it's surprising that they're banged up, and the guys we thought that would be amazing for them have not been so great. Yet they're still getting contributors from all over the place. Austin Meadows, Brandon Lowe, Tommy Pham. They've all done a really good job with this offense. And I think they're going to be in there till the end. I think they're going to win the wild card. If that's my prediction right now, the Tampa Bay Rays run away with the AL wild card.
That doesn't feel like a super bold prediction. I mean, right now the AL wild card is a more interesting race than I think anybody thought it was going to be. Because the Rays, the Red Sox, the Indians, and the Athletics and Rangers are all vying for that wild card spot, and really more the Rays are in line for that first wild card spot, and then all those teams are vying for that second wild card spot. I don't think it's a bold prediction at all to say that the Rays are going to get that first wild card spot. They are a well-constructed team, and that team does really interesting things with their front office, and I think that just they actually should be in a better spot than they are right now, except that the story of the second half of their first half was all injuries. So once the Rays get healthy, I expect them to be even better than they are right now.
Yep. I mean, if you look back at their first quarter of the season, they were on pace for 103 wins.
Yep.
103 wins. I think, what was the pace now? It's like 92 or 93 wins. So they're still going to be a very good team. It's just, can they bounce back from these injuries? Can Charlie Morton keep up this unbelievable ace-like status? They got a lot of good pieces. I think they're going to be in there until the end.
Yeah, it'll be so interesting to watch meaningful playoff games be played at the Trop this offseason. But I think
it's
that's going to be the case.
That anyone wishes for, please.
No, no. I mean, you know, the thing about the Rays that's interesting, too, is it's good that they have Charlie Morton this year, because they would throw, most likely they'd throw Charlie Morton in a wild card game. Yeah. But they are so reliant on the opener, given the fact that they just don't have much of a starting rotation, that's something that hasn't really been pressure tested in the postseason. Mm. So I'm actually interested. I mean, the Oakland Athletics went with an opener in the wild card game against the Yankees last season. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they had Blake Treinen, who was supposed to be, I mean, he was all season, he was an absolute stud for the Oakland Athletics. The opener strategy did not work for them at all. Treinen got trashed in that game as well. I would be really interested to watch at least a 5-game series where the Rays were employing the opener in multiple games in the series.
Yeah. I think it could work in the postseason, no doubt. And I think they're a team that might do it, you know. If they make the playoffs, if they make a deeper playoff run, I think you're going to see a lot of openers from the Rays and a lot of interesting tactics. Why not? They got nothing to lose.
I think you're right. So, Harry, we've talked about the competition. We've talked about the trade deadline. Give me some bold predictions for the second half, my friend, for the New York Yankees.
I mean, so we've always debated what we mean by bold predictions. My bold prediction, the preview, the season preview, was that Mike Tauchman is going to be a big contributor. You know, that was pretty much right.
You know? We got to go back and check the tapes, because big contributor, I think you're toning down the language that you used in the preview show.
So the question is, how bold should I go here? Is that, you know, I was very bold previewing the season, and I was right on my bold predictions.
Oh, come on.
So am I going to go as bold, or should I go realistic? Like, I'll give you a couple. The Yankees will have the best record since the 1998 season.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
Which they need, I think, 105 wins to make that happen.
Yep.
They've had 400 win teams since 1998, but no one's broken 105 wins.
I like that. That's a good one. And I think it's within reach too, despite given the fact that the Yankees are getting healthy now, I think that's definitely in play. I'll give you one. I'm going to double down on my preseason prediction, which is that the team that plays the best against the Orioles and the Jays is going to win the division.
The least bold prediction of all time.
Look, it's been the story of the season so far. You called me an idiot and I was right.
Your prediction was half the games the Yankees play against their division will matter.
To date, this year, the Yankees have a 777 winning percentage against the Orioles and the Blue Jays. They've only lost two games to the Orioles all season, while the Red Sox have lost five. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have only won 600. They're at 636 winning percentage against the Blue Jays and Orioles, having lost more games to each of those teams than the Yankees, which is a big reason for why they are in such a big hole that they're in right now. They have not made their layups.
All right, well, they're making their layups this year, so I don't think that's a bold prediction, but fair enough.
Got to make your layups, Harry. Got to make your layups.
Okay, I got one. Devi Garcia will be on the playoff roster.
I don't think that's that bold.
Is that not that bold? I mean, he just got promoted to AAA. He's 20 years old.
Yeah, but
he's also a starting pitcher.
Well, okay, maybe that's a bold prediction, and maybe it's one of those things that guys that are into analytics are all going to agree on, but I'll double down on that prediction with you. I agree. I think Devi Garcia is going to be on the postseason roster this season.
He just looks unbelievable. I'm very excited for him. He's got multiple pitches. He's not a flamethrower, which I like to see. You know, a lot of these young prospects coming up throw high 90s. He throws mid-90s, but he's just – paints the corners. He's got lots of pitches. He looks way beyond his years. So I'm very excited about Devi Garcia, Yankees top prospect. Keith Law just came out with his mid-season prospect top 100 watch, and he's number 29. He was not even on the list coming into the season. So he's put together a dynamite season so far.
I'll give you a bold prediction.
All right, what do you got?
Brett Gardner finishes the season with a career high in home runs and has 30 home runs at the end of the season.
Woo! Wow.
There is little data that I could use to back up that prediction. That's a voting with your heart and your head, not your head.
That's what you do a lot of, you know. That's why we love you.
I'd love for Brett to double up on the first half. Give me 30 home runs for Brett Gardner plus 700. Put it down in Atlantic City right now.
I'm rooting for that, too. I'm rooting for that. I also like – okay, here's one. Gleyber Torres will finish top three MVP voting. That's how good a season he's had.
That's a kind of fun one.
22 years old, extremely underrated season. I think he's looked better and better as the season's gone on. He's played great defense. He's hitting for power. He had 24 home runs last year. He has 19 already. So I think he could be a top three candidate, and people are going to start paying attention about how good Gleyber Torres is.
I like that a lot. I think that's a really good prediction. James Paxton gets the ball in game one of a postseason series.
That's a good one because that's what they traded for.
Yep.
We haven't seen it yet, but – I don't know. The starting rotation is the story in the second half. What does this rotation look like as we get closer to October? It's anyone's guess.
100%. Should we keep going round robin here, or are we all set, Harry?
Do I have any more predictions? trying to think, you know, Mike Tauchman makes the most.
Stop it. Stop with you, Mike Tauchman. I'm gonna bring that one back to no. I'm gonna bring that one back to bite you. The Mike Tauchman thing. We can't do that.
Why not?
It's just, it's too much. It's too much. He was a preseason prediction. He's a midseason prediction. It's just, it's becoming a crush. It's an obsession.
I'm just saying, he's that good, and I was so right. Because
no, he's not that good. He's like pretty average.
Yeah, but no one had heard his name before.
You just like the way that it sounds. You liked DJ LeMahieu, and that worked out fine for you. Go ahead. There you go. And you also liked saying Tauchman for, I don't know why, but it's a childish
for Tauchman.
It's a childish oral fixation that you have on these two names. That's all it is.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And I just like to rub in one of my bold predictions to come true.
I mean, some of my bold predictions came through too, but you don't see me bragging about it. I have some very exciting news to report. We may be recording a podcast midweek next week, but if we don't, I probably shouldn't say that. I don't know when we're recording next, but we are definitely recording next week from the induction ceremony of Mariano Rivera in Cooperstown, New York.
Oh, man.
If you're a Sports Animals fan and you're up in Cooperstown, come say hello. We'll sign a baseball for you. Maybe we could share a beer together in Cooperstown.
Sign a baseball? Yeah. Who wants our fucking signature?
You never know, Harry. We got some adoring fans of this podcast. Don't laugh.
No, I mean, I'm very excited.
Unbelievable.
We got to talk about the logistics a little bit, about how we're going to do a live show when Mariano is giving his speech, when we do play-by-play or something.
Yeah, we're going to have to, like, bring laptops, and we'll figure it out. Did you know Goose Gossage listens to this show?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's a sports animal?
He is a sports animal. Big handlebar mustache. Listens every week. Dedicated listener.
I hope we have Goose, Catfish, Moose, Mike Mussina. I hope we get the whole zoo.
Well, we're fully off the rails now. So I think it's time. I think it's time for us to say goodbye and good night. And we will talk to you again next week as the Yankees continue their steady march to the postseason. We'll see you in Cooperstown.
Moose.